Welcome to the deep dive. Okay, here's something that really stopped me in my tracks.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah, while international travel to the U.S. has bounced back pretty well in terms of, sheer numbers.
Right, the arrival figures.
Exactly. We hit about 84% of pre-pandemic levels last year. But the spending by those overseas visitors, it's still down, like around 20% from 2019.
That is a big gap.
It is. Let's unpack this right away because I think it shines a light on a crucial issue we're diving into today.
Yeah.
The real impact of recent U.S. tariffs on the travel and hospitality industry.
That difference, yeah, between arrival numbers and spending is absolutely key. It immediately tells you something fundamental is, well, affecting the value proposition of traveling to the U.S. for international visitors.
Right.
And your spot-on tariffs are definitely a major factor in that disruption.
Exactly. Now, for you listening, always wanting to understand the bigger picture, you've likely seen discussions about these tariffs, probably heard them.
Sure, they've been in the news.
But this isn't about the political back and forth. Our focus today is, well, laser sharp. The tangible on-the-ground consequences for the travel sector. Mm-hmm. We've got some really incisive analysis here looking at market research, industry strategies, and our mission is clear. Understand how these tariffs are impacting the travel industry.
Both sides of it, right?
Both sides. Who's traveling or not traveling, and the increasing costs for businesses. And then what smart strategies companies can actually use to, navigate this.
It's really about getting past the headlines to the actual economic effects. And the situation has definitely developed into a significant challenge, driven by what we can maybe think of as a 1-2 punch.
A 1-2 punch. Okay, tell me more about that.
Well, even before these tariffs really kicked in, the U.S. dollar was already quite strong.
Right, I remember.
Which, naturally made the U.S. a more expensive destination for a lot of international travelers anyway.
Mm-hmm.
Now, layer on top of that, the strained relationships with key trading partners, partly as a direct result of these tariffs. And you create this powerful headwind. A strong dollar now coupled with, let's say, less positive sentiment from some of our traditional visitor markets.
So it's this combination, a strong dollar, weak goodwill situation, specifically hitting the U.S. travel market.
Exactly.
And I'm seeing here that this whole dynamic is estimated to be shaving about 1% off global tourism growth.
Yeah, about 1%.
That's a significant drag globally.
Yeah.
So the core insight here is even with arrival numbers almost back, that lack of spending, it signals a really fundamental shift driven by cost, yes, but also these strained international relations linked directly to the tariffs.
Precisely. And it's hitting an industry that's been working incredibly hard just to recover.
Yeah, after the pandemic.
Exactly. As you said, arrivals are close, but that 20% drop in spending really underscores how these tariffs are, well, impeding a full economic recovery for the sector. The timing, as our sources point out, is just particularly difficult.
Right. After everything the industry's been through. Okay, so let's really dig into what's happening with who is choosing to travel. How are these tariffs impacting demand?
We're seeing several, frankly, worrying trends. Our sources point to reports of actual boycotts, cancellations of U.S. travel plans globally.
Boycotts.
Yes. It seems to be a direct consequence of that cooling in international relations that the tariffs have contributed to.
And it's not purely economic decisions driving this then, is it?
Uh-huh. I mean,
there's also this concerning issue, stories about arbitrary detentions, even involving travelers from places like Canada and Germany.
Mm-hmm.
That sounds like a really powerful deterrent.
Absolutely. Those kinds of stories, they generate significant visa anxiety. People become very cautious, even about applying for visas if they fear unpredictable negative experiences when they arrive.
I can see that.
It definitely has a chilling effect on the desire to travel. And look, while the U.S. dollar has softened a tiny bit recently, it's still relatively strong.
Still high, yeah.
So it continues to make the U.S. comparatively expensive for many potential visitors.
Okay, let's look at some specific examples. The impact on travel from Canada seems particularly sharp.
Oh, definitely.
The numbers we have here are, well, they're quite striking. Land border crossings down by a third.
A third, yeah.
Air travel declining by double digits for 2 months straight.
Mm-hmm.
And future flight bookings showing a staggering 70% drop. What? What's driving that kind of shift in booking behavior? That paints a really concerning picture.
It really does. And the projection is for a 20% year-over-year decline in travel from Canada to the U.S. That's substantial.
20%?
Our analysis estimates this could translate to over $2 billion in lost spending. and nearly 15,000 jobs.
Oh, wow.
It just underscores the deep economic ties, doesn't it? And the direct impact of these policies. Naturally, destinations that have historically relied really heavily on Canadian tourists, they're going to feel this the most.
And it's not just our immediate neighbors, right?
Mm-hmm.
Demand from Asia, from Europe is also softening. Western Europe showing particular weakness.
That's right. We're seeing overall declines there around 17%.
17%.
And when you look at specific countries like Germany, Spain, across Scandinavia, the drops are even more pronounced. Some are seeing 20%, even up to 60% down.
60%.
Again, that visa anxiety, those fears of detention, they're cited as likely key factors contributing to that.
Okay.
And this change in who's coming also leads to shifts in the types of trips people take.
Ah, right.
With fewer long-stay visitors from overseas, there's a greater dependence on shorter trips. You know, domestic travelers, people coming from Mexico and Canada for shorter stays.
Which changes things for hotels.
Exactly. It alters revenue models, overall occupancy patterns for hotels, other hospitality businesses.
It's interesting, too, that the early tariffs, the ones on Canada and Mexico, they also seem to trigger a sort of patriotic backlash in those countries.
Mm-hmm. There are reports of that.
Which actually led to a decrease in outbound U.S. travel as well.
Yeah, really.
So it seems the negative impacts are being felt in both directions across those borders.
That's a good point. It wasn't just a one-way street.
Okay, so that's a clear picture of the demand-side dilemma. Now, let's switch gears. How are these tariffs directly squeezing the bottom line for the businesses themselves? What's happening with their costs?
Yeah, the cost side crunch, we're seeing increases pretty much across the board. The tariffs directly impact the price of imported goods, right?
Right.
So for hotels, that means higher prices for everything from, say, imported food and beverage supplies to furniture for the rooms, linens, bedding, even certain tech components in their systems. Mm. And then you've got the sort of second order effects, like increased costs in construction, which can significantly impact any planned renovations or expansions they had in mind.
And it doesn't stop with just physical goods, does it? I mean, higher airfares,
right,
which can be a direct consequence of tariffs hitting the aviation industry that further discourages travel, which means lower occupancy, shorter stays. Mm-hmm. It's all connected.
Precisely. It's this interconnected web. And all of this creates significant pressure on those key industry metrics we watch, AREV, PAYR, revenue per available room, and ADR, average daily rate. These are crucial indicators of a hotel's financial health, and they're under real pressure now.
Mm-hmm.
Hotels find themselves in a tough spot, really. Higher operating costs mean they need to protect their margins. But if they raise room rates too aggressively,
they risk driving away more guests.
Exactly. They risk accelerating those occupancy declines even further.
It's a real balancing act then. Try to hike rates to cover costs, but maybe fewer people book. And our sources suggest that because competitors are also facing similar cost pressures.
Right. Everyone's in the same boat.
There's limited room to really push ADR up significantly without just losing business to the hotel next door.
That's exactly right. And looking a bit longer term, we could see some concerning consequences from this.
Like what?
Well, to manage these increased costs in the short term, hotels may well decide to postpone capital expenditures.
Ah, so putting off renovations, upgrades.
Exactly. Things like necessary property improvements. And over time, this can lead to a gradual decline in the overall product quality, the guest experience.
Which could then create a negative cycle, right? Lower quality leads to even less demand.
Potentially, yes. That's the worry.
Okay. So businesses are really getting hit from both sides. Fewer international travelers spending less, and their own costs going up significantly. What immediate practical steps can travel businesses take right now, short term?
Okay, short term actions. There are several key things they should be considering. One important strategy is to actively hedge against the expected volatility of the US dollar.
Hedging against currency swings. Makes sense.
Yeah. For hotels outside the US, this might mean locking in future exchange rates, maybe holding some US dollar reserves.
Okay.
And conversely, U.S.-based hotels with expenses in foreign currencies, they should look at similar hedging strategies just in reverse.
Right, trying to minimize that currency uncertainty. What else?
Another smart move, and relatively quick to implement, is quoting prices in the local currencies of their key affected markets.
Oh, so like Canadian dollars for Canadians, Mexican pesos for Mexicans.
Exactly. This does two things. It helps protect the hotel's own margins from currency fluctuations between booking and arrival, but it also gives potential guests greater price certainty and transparency, makes it easier for them to budget.
Yeah, it removes a potential point of friction, a reason not to book.
Good point. What about reaching the customers who are still likely to travel?
Right, marketing. A crucial short-term tactic is to strategically shift their marketing focus. Businesses really should prioritize reaching those closer, less affected markets.
So thinking cross-border, short-haul flights, drive market.
Precisely. Those within reasonable driving distance, they can use techniques like geofencing their digital ads to target specific locations.
Okay.
Forming partnerships with regional tourism groups, maybe working with influencers who specifically reach those drive-in audiences. So really concentrating fire on the market segments that still show potential and making it super easy for them to visit. And on the cost side, any immediate actions there?
Absolutely. Renegotiating existing supply contracts is essential. Now is the time.
Mm-hmm.
Travel businesses should be revisiting agreements with their vendors, actively looking for opportunities to get better pricing or more favorable delivery terms.
Like asking for price caps.
Yeah. Exploring options like asking for price caps on certain goods or maybe negotiating more frequent reviews of the contract terms so they're not locked into old prices that don't reflect today's reality.
Okay, so those are some pretty concrete short-term tactical responses. What about the longer view? The more strategic moves travel businesses need to be thinking about now for the long haul.
Right, the longer term. Looking ahead, businesses need to, I think, engage in a deeper reflection on their brand, how they connect with travelers on a more fundamental level.
Mm-hmm.
So revisiting their core brand positioning, their messaging, that becomes key. Crafting narratives that strongly emphasize inclusivity, a welcoming atmosphere.
Building goodwill.
Exactly. That can be instrumental in rebuilding goodwill with international visitors. And potentially, it could even help justify commanding higher ADRs, especially if the brand is seen as purpose-driven, deeply connected to the local community.
So it's about communicating more than just we have beds and Wi-Fi,
yeah,
but really about their values,
yeah,
their ethos.
Precisely. Our analysis really highlights the long-term importance of telling a more compelling story, one that shapes how travelers perceive the brand beyond just the price tag,
right,
a story that resonates on a deeper emotional level, especially when facing these broader global challenges.
And that connects to something else here, aligning the brand to higher travel motivations.
Yeah.
Like self-discovery.
Yes, exactly. Things like self-actualization, genuine human connection. When travel experiences are framed around these more profound needs, they feel less transactional to people.
Less about just the cost.
Right. And that can potentially decrease price sensitivity.
That's a really insightful point, shifting focus from the purely transactional to the deeper personal value. And long term, strategically, what about managing those higher operating costs and building more resilience?
Diversifying their operating cost structure. That can create more flexibility down the road.
How so?
Well, exploring strategies like outsourcing certain non-core functions, maybe cleaning or laundry, investigating revenue sharing models for underutilized facilities. They might have like meeting spaces or pools.
Okay.
And strategically using on-call or flexible staffing models. That helps better align labor costs with fluctuating demand. Ultimately, it reduces their overall risk exposure.
So building a more agile, adaptable operational model for the long term. Now, it's easy to feel a bit concerned looking at all these challenges, but our sources also give some important historical perspective, reminding us, you know, the travel industry has faced huge obstacles before and overcome them.
That's a critical point to remember, absolutely. Whether it's been wars, recessions, pandemics, even specific localized events, as one source mentions, the travel industry has consistently shown remarkable resilience. Its ability to adapt, to eventually recover, it really shouldn't be underestimated.
And this isn't just abstract data for the person who wrote this analysis either, is it? There's a personal connection mentioned.
Yes, they mentioned spending early years in the U.S. feeling a deep tie.
Yeah, really highlighting how these tariffs are impacting the U.S.-Canada relationship on a much deeper level than just dollars and cents.
That personal perspective, I think it truly underscores the broader human impact. It's not just about higher prices at the border or for a hotel room.
No.
It's about the potential strain on these long-standing bonds.
Mm-hmm.
Bonds built on easy crossings, trade, shared values, cultural connections.
Mm-hmm.
It adds a vital human dimension to the economic analysis we've been talking through.
It really does.
Yeah.
So, okay, bringing it all together, what would you say is the core message for travel and hospitality brands trying to navigate this complex situation?
Well, the central theme seems to be this dual focus. On the one hand, addressing the immediate pressing challenges with clear, decisive action.
the short-term stuff we discussed.
Exactly. But at the same time, maintaining a strong, unwavering focus on their long-term strategic vision.
Don't lose sight of the future.
Right. Prioritizing the guest experience above all else, fostering a culture of nimbleness, adaptability within their operations, and diligently safeguarding those crucial relationships.
With partners, with customers.
Both. With international partners and their customer base. That seems absolutely paramount for success in this evolving environment.
Okay. So to quickly synthesize our key takeaways then.
Yeah.
These U.S. tariffs. They are indeed creating a significant pressure point for travel.
No doubt.
Hitting both demand from international travelers and driving up operating costs for businesses.
Mm-hmm.
But it's the important part by proactively implementing strategic responses,
mm-hmm.
focusing on closer markets, managing costs creatively, consistently emphasizing the unique value and experiences they offer.
Yeah.
Travel and hospitality brands can build resilience. They can navigate this effectively.
Absolutely. And for you listening, with your keen interest in understanding these broader forces shaping our world, this deep dive really provides a compelling illustration, doesn't it?
Yeah.
How seemingly broad economic policies like tariffs can have very real, very tangible consequences on specific industries like travel, influencing everything from booking trends down to the price you might pay for your hotel room.
It's definitely a more nuanced perspective than you get from just the surface level news headlines.
Sure.
And it really makes you think, doesn't it? Considering the intricate interconnectedness we've explored here,
yeah.
What other seemingly unrelated industries might be feeling similar ripple effects from these global trade shifts?
That's a great question.
And what valuable lessons can we maybe glean from how the travel sector is responding? As we continue to analyze the wider economic fallout of tariffs and, you know, the growing importance of adaptable strategies in our increasingly interconnected world.
Lots to consider there.
Definitely. It's a crucial set of questions to keep in mind as you continue to explore the forces shaping our global landscape. Thanks for taking this deep dive with us.